Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. We are not going to start our new series tonight. I know I'm still working through exactly what the Wednesday night series is going to look like and also our Sunday school series. So we're going to have another just message. It's going to be a Bible message, but it's not going to be part of the beginning of a new series here. Luke chapter number 4. We're going to talk about dealing with temptation. This is one of those things in our life that we need to make sure we get right because we're going to be tempted. And not God doesn't tempt you to do evil, but we're going to be tried in different forms. But tonight specifically, we're going to look at how the devil solicits us to do wrong. He attracts us and lays something out there for us to try to do what is wrong or against God's will and God's purpose. And so tonight, I think that this will be an encouragement and a help to you. And I'm praying that it will help us make sure that we for the most part, realize, hey, look, we're going to be tempted of the devil. We're going to be solicited to do wrong. All the time, no matter where we're at, the devil is going to continually be persistent in that. And so we got to be on guard. We got to be ready. And we got to fight against that. If he came and tempted Christ, and I think he's going to come and tempt us also. Now, this is found in a couple different spots in the Bible. Matthew chapter number 4 has the same amount of verses almost. Matthew and Mark chapter number 1, when we were going through the series of Mark, they just mention it and highlight it for just a verse or two verses. So we didn't go over that in the Gospel of Mark just because it wasn't emphasized in Mark, and we're trying to stay with the story that Mark is portraying. But I always thought, man, that would be good to go back to and look at this temptation of Christ. And Luke chapter number 4, as we're going to be at tonight, is verses 1 through 13. And I hope that this is going to be a help to you, because if we can get this right, it's going to help us in our area if we can learn how to fight against temptation. Or more importantly, just say no to the temptation that comes after us. And we see the example here. The devil comes to tempt Jesus. He's trying to get Jesus to fall so he cannot die for the sin of mankind. He tempts him to do wrong continuously. Some people think, okay, after the 40 days of fasting, that's when the devil tempted him. But I believe he was tempting Jesus for the 40 days. Let's look what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So some people think, okay, he was there for 40 days, he fasted for 40 days, and then the devil comes. I believe during that entire time he is there and he is tempting the Lord. We see the three big ones that he tempts him here. It says, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Some things we see about that is he hungered. See, he's 100% God, but he's 100% flesh also. And so he is hungry. I don't know. I remember we actually talked about this here recently with our children's church, and Brother Christian was telling the story, and he's like, I don't know about 40 days. He said, I might be able to do 40 hours. I struggle sometimes with 40 minutes, not eating something but 40 hours. But could you imagine for 40 days? And if he would have looked up that word hungered there, it talked about being famished. He's very weak. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Once again, he's questioning. He's saying, look, if you really are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And once again, we're going to look at that in a little while, but the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't care. He doesn't play by the rules. We learn in Job that he can only bring certain things to us. Everything has to be filtered through God. But at the same time, he is not going to play by the rules. So he comes and he doesn't try to attack Jesus with something or another. He hits him where he's hurting the most, that he's hungry. And he tries to tempt him with something that is not wrong, but tries to get it to a method that is wrong. He tries to get Jesus to misuse his power. The reason why he has power is to teach of his deity, to show the people that he was the Messiah, not for his own physical needs. And that's what it says here. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, and all shall be thine. So we all know, if you go to book Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it all belongs to him, and someday he will rule and reign forever. They have allowed the devil to have be the prince in power, the heir here. And here he's trying to get Jesus to get the glory without the cross. He's trying to tell him, hey, look, you can have all this glory. You do not have to go to the cross. He's trying to get him to worship him. And then once again, we see the response in verse number 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. We see that statement again. It is written, talking about the word of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, this is probably about 70 feet from below, all the way down to the valley of Kidron. It's about 70 feet high. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. So the devil even does, and this is what he often does, he will come and he will misquote Scripture. He will kind of construe the Scripture to say what he wants to in order to tempt us to do something that's against God. And here, the Lord responds, the Lord knows it, and he says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. How does Jesus respond? And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's ask the Lord a blessing on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you that you helped us. I believe you led us to this portion of Scripture. And Lord, that you have something for us tonight on how to deal with temptation. Or we're bombarded all around us with things that the devil can use to tempt us. And God, I pray that we will see the victory that Jesus found, even in a physically weak moment, that we can also have victory through him and with his help. God, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is the place of temptation. I find this really interesting when it says in chapter 4, verse number 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew 4, 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now think about that. Think about the place of the temptation that's happening. Now Jesus is not where, it's not someplace he's not supposed to be. Jesus is not someplace where he knows he should not be going, and that sometimes gets us in trouble. We're going to talk about that in a second. But the place of temptation here, being full of the Holy Ghost, he was exactly where he was supposed to be, doing exactly what he was supposed to do, and the temptation still came. That's why we need to be careful. Being obedient to God does not exempt us from temptation, but it will help us to overcome temptation. Listen to that statement again. Being obedient to God does not exempt one from temptation, but it will help us to overcome the temptation. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for that, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If the devil is seeking to devour you, we need to be prepared and ready to fight the temptation no matter where it's at. The sad thing is, it even happens in the house of God. Even happens in our own homes. Even happens at times when there should be spiritual things that are going on. Put it down. If God is moving, the devil is resisting. If God is moving forward and God is doing a work, the devil is going to do whatever he can to stop it. The devil is going to do whatever he can to cause and tempt others to do whatever he can to stop the work of God moving forward. So even inside of a church, we must be sober and be vigilant. Even inside our own homes, we must learn to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Even Jesus, when he looked at Peter, he even helps us understand that when he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he tells them, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I want you to get this and understand that no matter even if you're where you would consider your safety spot, even if you're in a spot where you feel comfortable and at home at, we need to be careful and we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to put on the whole armor of God because the Spirit indeed is interested in us having a successful, victorious Christian life, but our flesh is weak. Now, if we go and we look at this and we understand that Jesus is exactly where he is and where he's supposed to be, and he overcomes the temptation, how much harder is it for us not to be where we should be at to overcome that temptation? Bible puts it this way, Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for your flesh. That way you're able to overcome the temptation to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't do anything that's going to give your flesh an opportunity to sin. So that's why we got to be careful where we go, careful what we do. I even alluded to this to our young people in the back. I said to them, I said, if you got a problem with alcohol, don't be in a bar. If you're going to have a problem with certain things, don't go to certain places. Don't have an issue. And there are certain places I believe you shouldn't go. Certain places, because there are things that when you look at it and you're in that spot, and there's certain things that will just cause you to be tempted. Why go and why be a part of that? And so it's important to understand that. And so that's what it's the idea here, that that the place of temptation we see here, it's interesting to me and kind of drove home that wherever I'm at, the devil's still going to find some reason, something to do to try to tempt us. We consider maybe here in church that he tempts us to have a negative thought or a bad attitude, or to let our mind wander and let our mind drift, or begin to gossip or make accusations, and whatever it is, even inside the house of God, to cheat someone or to ignore someone, whatever it is, to be angry, whatever it is, we need to be careful. Even if we are right where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, that means that the devil is still going to come, and if we are working for the Lord, the devil is going to come and try to tempt us. So we should not try to make it easier by being in the wrong spot at the wrong time, because we're going to have our defenses down. We're not going to have the whole armor of God on, and we're not going to be able to withstand that that temptation. It's a little story that always use the name Johnny, but little boy's there and is in his closet. Mom had already told him he wasn't allowed to have cookies, and she hears the bag rattling, and mom out there and asks, hey, Johnny, what are you doing? And he says, I'm fighting temptation. He's like, I'm fighting it. And he's sitting there looking at the cookies. That's not the place to fight it. The place to fight it is sitting on the couch and saying to myself, hey, mom said I couldn't have cookies. There's no business for me to be inside the pantry. And there's no business for me to be looking in the cookie jar and the cookie bag, feeling bad for myself. And so many times when we have certain things in our hearts and our lives, there are certain people we really don't need to be around, because we know that they're to counsel the ungodly, they're walking in the way of sinners, they're sitting in the seat of scornful. I don't need to spend extra time with those people, because they're going to cause me and tempt me to do wrong. And there's, it's like, for instance, there's certain places we shouldn't go and certain things we guess shouldn't do, because of the fact it's going to cause us to be tempted to do those things that we know are wrong. We try to keep our hearts and our minds clear, but then we watch things on the TV that are just going to fill it with junk, or we look on things on social media that fills it with junk and the purity. I was reading something about purity, and it gave the idea that all the things in our heart, I think it was a few days ago, and it's the idea of purity was in one of my little things I do in my devotion thing, and it's a certain word that you consider and you pray about, and it said, if Jesus lives in your heart, how much junk is in your heart that he has to deal with? And it gave the idea of a room being dirty and how sometimes we're uncomfortable. I've been in some houses that have been a little bit messy. I've been in some houses that have been sloppy. I've been in some houses where we've helped clean out people's houses where it could make you sick because of the smell, and the rodents were running around inside the garage, and it was just disgusting. And it makes you feel uncomfortable. But sometimes what we put inside our own heart and put inside our own mind is filth, and it's like, Jesus is the hope that is in you. Holy Spirit of God resides in us. You know, all those different things. How filthy is it in our heart? And if he's in our heart, it's something we need to make sure that it's clean and acceptable. Most of us would say, hey, I want my house to be clean if someone's going to come visit me. I want to make sure everything looks okay. But then we forget, hey, what type of room preparation are we making for the King of Kings and the throne room of our own heart? We need to make sure that it's pure and that it's right. And so I want you to get this, that it's important to understand, even when you're in a spot that you need to be on guard against temptation. And no matter who it is that you're dealing with, because we've seen people mess up, we've seen people sin, we've seen how there has been the temptation to join somebody else. Remember when Mary had came and she had anointed Jesus' feet, that it says Judas began to give Mary a hard time, and also the other disciples. When Judas began to speak up, the temptation was for his other disciples to join in and jump in and say, hey, you know, what Judas is saying is right. And can you imagine agreeing with Judas? I mean, and then you think about the Pharisees and John's disciples come up to the disciples and Jesus and said, hey, why aren't you fasting? It's a temptation. Make sure you guard it against where you're around and who you're around and be careful. Now, I'm not saying we kick everyone who does not believe like us to the curb and never, ever associate. No, we're never going to reach the world that way. But what I'm saying is we don't let them influence us. We don't let them change us. We don't let them make and mold what we should think and how we should do. We're being sober. We're being vigilant. We're realizing the temptation that the devil puts in front of us and says, here, this looks pretty, this looks attractive, this is more fun than doing it you're doing it God's way. We need to change that. And that's what he's doing with the Lord. He's going to Jesus and saying to him, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just turn these to bread? If you're Son of God, why don't you do this and do that? And same thing as he did with Eve. He tempted Eve, said, yea, have God said. He takes God's word, he twists it, and he tempts us to do something that we know is wrong, but we try to justify it in our own hearts and minds. Now, to continue about the place of temptation, remember the devil attacks the weakness. You go here in verse number 2, he says, and for 40 days of the devil, and in those days did he eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So what does he attack him with? He attacks him with bread. Is there anything wrong with bread? No, there's not. Is there anything wrong with certain things of this world? No, there's not. But he's saying to you, I want you to go and I want you to get these things. I want you to get these items and I want you to get them in an ungodly way. Satan comes at a time of weakness. Satan desires to misuse our powers. There is nothing sinful about the bread, but Satan was asking Christ to use the power for his own needs. His power was intended for the use to demonstrate his deity to others. And Satan's just trying to get him do something that there's nothing wrong with, but do it the wrong way. And oftentimes, that's what he does with us. He says, hey, you need to accomplish this over here. We all know that you need to eat. We all know this needs to happen. But you don't have to do it God's way. You can just go ahead and do it your own way. That is the temptation of the flesh. Then you see how he came and attacked him. He says that there's a temptation of ambition. You sit there and you look at it when he takes him up to the high mountain in verse number 5. The devil says to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto thee, and to whatsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And oftentimes when the devil comes to tempt us, he will show us something and says, wouldn't it be great to have all that? To have all this could be yours if you just listen to me. If you will just worship me, if you will just do things my way instead of God's ways, you can have all this. You don't have to be held back by the Bible. You don't have to be held back by God's ways. He said, if you'll just follow after me, you can have all and everything you want. And he attracted so many people that way. He attracted Eve that way. We think about the story of the prodigal son. You know, there's something you're missing in the father's house. The father's not taking care of you. If you'll just go and you'll go this way, you can have so much more. And that's what he does. He comes and presents things, and maybe it's a new job or a new location or a new toy or something or another. Hey, if you'll just stop going to church on Sunday, maybe start working on Sundays or working on Wednesday nights. And he says, you can have all this if you'll just maybe stop giving, or maybe if you'll stop being focused on the Lord, or maybe stop serving the Lord or going on visitation. If you'll just focus over here, look at all the stuff you can have. It's all a lie. It's a temptation. He's not going to tempt you with something ugly. He's not going to tempt you with something that is not going to bother you. I had told the young people on this when I made this illustration, I said that, Lord, help me. I grew up in a home that taught me that drinking was wrong and smoking was wrong and drugs were wrong, and that the devil couldn't tempt me with alcohol or couldn't tempt me with cigarettes and couldn't tempt me with those things because none of that stuff interests me. And some of them kind of, you know, like they were surprised because that's what they see a lot of times around them, where they see the alcohol and they see the cigarettes, and hopefully they don't see the drugs, but probably at different times they'll see the drugs. And I says, now there are plenty of things the devil tempts me with. There's plenty of different things that I need to work on, whether it's my thought life or whether it's being lazy or whether it's this or whether it's relationships, or there's plenty of things that I had to fight against at the temptations. I said, but what tempts me may be different than what tempts you. And there are certain things the devil will do, and he'll bring out and say, hey, doesn't that look beautiful? You deserve that. And that's what he's saying here. He says, you can have all that, but you don't have to go the way of the cross. See, God's way of redemption was not about being sensationalism. It was about the cross. It wasn't about pride, and that's what he's taking in. It's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He's trying to get him, but Christ did not merely come to become the stir up some emotions. He came to speak truth. He didn't come just to make himself look high and mighty. He could have done that if he wanted to, but that wasn't his purpose. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he tempts us, and the devil tempts us to try to do those things that are wrong, and there's a temptation of ambition that's there, and that's why Satan has taken many godly Christians to a mountain and offered them power and prestige of this world if you would only follow his plan. That's why he says in 1 John 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you see here that he comes and he tempts him not only with ambition and the tempts the flesh, but I got ahead of myself a little bit here, the temptation of pride and sensationalism. Look what it says here in verse number 9. He brought him to Jerusalem. And set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Once again, he keeps on questioning, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. And begins talking about how sensational it would look if he was falling off the temple and the angels came down and swiped down and saved him in front of all the people. Then everybody would believe in him. Then it would accomplish the purpose, and you wouldn't have to even believe in the cross. You can't do things outside of God's way. It's not about trying to entertain people. Jesus could have entertained the masses many times with his miracles. That wasn't not his purpose, but how many times they still walked away from him? How many times did they still, when he preached and teached the hard things, they said, hey, I'm leaving. I don't like that part. They came after they fed him because the feeding of the 5,000 is because they were looking for food. They were looking for physical help. But the devil is there, and he's trying to grab a hold of his pride and says, hey, look, they're going to believe you if you do that. And he says, nope. So I want you to think about here the place of temptation. The second thing I want you to think about is the power over temptation. The one thing I love is that he has victory. And you say he's Jesus. He offers us the same victory. Praise the Lord, we do not have to fall to temptation. We do not have to give in. I don't care how strong it is, how much of a pull it is, we can reckon ourselves dead. And one of the ways he shows you here, he says in verse number 4, it is written. Verse number 8, it is written. Verse number 12, it says, it is written. That it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And it refers to the fact that it is written. And in Matthew, it actually uses that phrase, it is written, it is written, it is written. So what are you saying? If you know your Bible, you know what? We have a greater chance of overcoming a temptation. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's not just having an idea of the Bible. It's putting in your heart and making it reign supreme. That was the response. He says there was a way of victory. There was a way of escape. There was a way of overcoming a temptation. It's by knowing your Bible. Now here's the thing. It's not just knowing it. It's understanding it. Pharisees knew the law, but it wasn't that they wanted to follow God's way. There are people out there that know the Bible, but they don't apply it. It's more than just knowing, it's understanding the Bible, and it's listening to what God said. And the Holy Spirit and God's been working in my heart this year. I know it's only a few weeks, but it's not just about obedience. The only way you're going to truly obey somebody is when you understand what they're saying. How often do we give instruction? How often do we tell people, hey, this is what we want done, to have them do things what they thought we intended for them to do? How often does that happen that we say, hey, can you please take care of this? And then they do it some way completely different than what you asked. And they says, well, that's what I thought you wanted. And many times under the guise of Christianity or the guise of what they believe God wants, we'll go out and we'll correct somebody, or we will go out and we will treat somebody a certain way, and we'll do all these other things. And we're saying, well, this is the way that God wanted me to do it, but we've never been obedient because we've never, ever truly took time to see how God really, truly wants it. And what God's desire is, and that's where the Pharisees that we've been seeing in the book of Mark and John's disciples coming to him and saying, hey, why don't you guys fast? It's like, it's a private thing. It's not something you're supposed to even see. Well, is it right to heal on the Sabbath, or if it's not right to heal on the Sabbath? They weren't interested in truth, but they were doing things in the name of God. And they were saying, oh, we're obedient. It's like Saul turning around and saying, hey, I killed all the Amorites. But he says, no, you only did a portion of it. It's over and over and over in the scriptures. People do the things that they believe that they should have done instead of really, truly seeking God's will and what he desires for them to do. And when the Lord comes and says it is written, he knows the word of God. He applies the word of God. It is written. He understands what God's desire is. And this can give us power in our temptation. This is when there is a way of escape. I love the verses when it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13 and 14. There have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You can flee from it. You can have that way escape. And it will give us the opportunity. Psalms 119 says, with my whole heart I've sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want to encourage you today. You can have victory. You can have victory, and you can have a way of escape. No matter what the temptation is, no matter how hard it is, you can also, God says, look, you can have freedom from that. Well, where do I get this freedom from? There's victory in the word of God. There's victory in the word of God. And that's what he kept on saying. It's over and over. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's victory in our spiritual walk. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You say, well, if I'm walking in the Spirit, will the devil not tempt me? He's still going to tempt you. But guess what? As you walk in the Spirit and you do things the Lord, way the Lord wants, you're not going to give in to that flesh. There's also victory in submitting to God. What does the Bible say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's victory in submitting to God. There's victory to being surrendered. There's victory to making yourself that sacrifice and say, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want, teach me, show me with an open heart, what is it you desire about this issue, about this problem? God, I know all the things I've learned. I know all the things I've been taught. I know all the things that my flesh is pushing me and pulling me to. But Lord, what is it that you desire? Because whatever you show me, I'll submit to. Then it says, resist the devil. So there is victory in resisting Satan also. But you got to remember that. The verse starts off with submit to the Lord. Then it says, resist the devil. So often in our temptation, we hold on, we grab a hold of and say, I'm resisting the devil. I don't have to do that. I'm going to resist the devil. I don't have to do that. I'm going to resist the devil. But if we're not submitting to the Lord, we don't have his power. We don't have his strength. We just sit there and we say, I'm resisting, I'm resisting. How often do we fail? I fail all the time. If I'm doing it in my own strength, if I'm doing it in my own power, I'm going to fail. Now, I'm not going to let that failure stop me. I'm going to keep on going forward. But if I will learn to submit to the Lord first, and then when I resist the devil, you know what the Bible says? He's going to flee from me. And there's also victory in a walk with Christ. You know, we have victory when we walk with him. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then remember this verse. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we love that verse, and we love the application of that verse. But in that context, what it's saying there is the Lord was tempted, and he can help us with our temptation. So when we are faced with a temptation, let us boldly come into his presence and say, God, please help me. You know what he'll do? He'll help us every single time. Last but not least, I want you to see the persistency of temptation. The persistency is temptation. I have had older people tell me that they thought as I got older, thought the temptation was going to be easier, thought it was going to go away. I thought some of those things I wanted as a young man or a young lady would have changed over the years. And he says the temptations may have changed some, but they're still there. And that they're still sometimes in certain areas just as strong as they were before. And sometimes when maybe I'm not as tempted with doing some foolish younger things, there are other things I'm tempted at even at a greater rate because of the different things that have happened in my body. And I thought about that, and it was encouragement to me to keep on being faithful and keep on being sober, keep on being vigilant, because I know that I'm going to continue on being tempted. But that last part about the persistency, look what it says here in verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. And that last phrase, for a season. Meaning he left him for a little while. He's coming back. And so that's the thing we can't forget. It's that this temptation, that's why he tells us to be on guard. That's why he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. That's why he tells us not to make provision to the flesh. It's not just there for good preaching or there to try to give the preacher something to say, to try to work something up. No, there's temptation coming. And many times after a victory where we think we've accomplished something and we said no to a certain issue and said no to something, we've submitted to God, we resisted from the devil had to leave. The devil's not happy about that. You know what? He's coming back, and he's coming back stronger next night. He's going to come back with maybe a greater temptation, a different temptation, another shiny object to put in front of you and say, here, why don't you try this? Here, this is something you need, and you got to get it. You can go away, go around what God desires. Or here, you deserve this, and the pride of life, and that you deserve this. And then maybe there's that idea of ambition. Hey, you can do more. You can accomplish more. And he brings things in our heart and he attacks us. And we just got to remember this. He's going to keep on attacking and keep on attacking. It's sort of not like we can just cover up our head and say, okay, I'm going to give in to this temptation one time and maybe he'll just leave me alone. That just won't happen. Think about the story of Judas, and I see how Judas ended up his life. How many times Judas had the opportunity to do what was right? How many times did Judas hear Jesus teach? And how many times did Judas hear, see Jesus do his miracles? Where does Judas end up at? At the end of a rope. That's what a life looks like. I think about Saul, the first king, how he ends up with that sword that he fell upon. And he's there, and how miserable his life looks like, and how miserable his life has been wrecked, because that's what Satan has to offer you. It's nothing pretty at the it's nothing pretty at the end. He'll make it look like, hey, I'll give you all those kingdoms and I'll be able to give you all the things you want. He can tell Eve, you can be like a god. You'll be knowing right from wrong. But then Eve's first fruit or her first child kills her second child. How much heartache that would have been. That's what sin has to offer. That's what sin's going to lead you. And when we're there and we're thinking that this little bit of sin isn't going to hurt me, this little bit of sin's not going to, and we see how it just leads and leads. And we've seen that over and over in stories, whether it's Achan being looking and seeing that sin and seeing that his whole family is punished. And we think about the story of Lot and how he saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, over and over, you see what the devil has to offer. Destruction and ruin. But he starts right here. He tempts us. He says, hey, is this something you desire? Hey, this is something you can have. But the Lord shows us, if we know his word, he offers us a way of escape. And it says, it is written. If you submit to the Lord, submit unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Tonight, temptation is something we all will have to deal with for the rest of our lives. We will continue to deal with it even as we get older. The temptation may change, but there's still temptation to do what's wrong. The devil's not going to leave you alone. If the devil's leaving you alone, it's probably because you're not serving the Lord. He's always fighting those that are trying to do something for him. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the story. It still amazes me that the devil would come and tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He knew who he was, but he felt like he could get him. And Lord, thank you for showing us that we can have victory. Thank you for giving us that way of escape. Thank you for those promises. If those promises were not in the Bible, like in Romans chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, Lord, I would wonder if we could always have the victory or not. But Lord, your word tells us we can. Help us to believe your word. Help us to trust your word. God, help us tonight to be willing to deal with the temptation, not just give into it, not just say everybody else is doing it, or I have to because of the way I'm made, or this is just me. No, help us to see the victory that we can have through you. Help us to be willing to put on that whole armor of God and stop making provision for the flesh and clean up those things that are in our heart and be pure in your sight. And Lord, that we would deal with this temptation time and again, that we wouldn't get tired of fighting, because, Lord, it's not us fighting. It should be us fighting through you. Lord, you give us the power and strength to handle anything that comes our way, it says, Lord, with your help. The temptations we cannot handle on our own, but with you, Lord, you will always give us a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Help us as we deal with these temptations day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.